Hello, Jackie. Glad to hear you got home safe. Praise God. Oh. Hey, it's been a couple of weeks since I had to do this. I forget. Those listening on the message, I hadn't set up the projector. I want to talk this morning about a work of art. Take a look at your bulletin. Does anybody know what that is? Penny knows what that is. She's seen it. So the only people that know what it is are those that have actually seen it. Okay, that's fine. Okay, so that's a counted cross stitch. Okay, that's a picture of counted cross stitch taken with a very, very poor phone camera. And on one side is the back, and you can't tell what it is. And on the other side is the front, or not the front, the top. The top is the back, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What? Right, but which one was where? The top is the back, the bottom is the front. So when Rich puts the message up online, hopefully he'll put up both pictures and those that are listening can see it. Otherwise, once it's posted, I will add the pictures to it. I decided I was going to make Debbie famous by publishing pictures of her counted cross stitch. It's a woman standing next to a Singer sewing machine. On the front, it's obvious that it's a Singer sewing machine. On the back, you can't even tell anything's written there. It's just a whole bunch of globs and a whole bunch of strings and nothing seems to make any... What?
Very neat on the back, though.
She's not done. Okay, so I want you to get that picture in your head. This is something made by the work of human hands. Deb sat there and she's done a great job, and you talk to her about it and she'll say even in that she's made mistakes, but they're kind of hard to, if you don't know what it's supposed to look like in the first place, you really don't know where the mistakes are, and if you flip it over you'll never see the mistakes. That's something made by human hands. Pastor Chris said something last week that really stuck with me, and I'd never actually put this in, had this thought or had it put in these words, and it kind of caught me off guard. Chris said, since we know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if we are on his heart and in his mind right now, we were in eternity past and will be in eternity future. Think about that. God paying attention to the things going on in our lives. Remember, God is outside of time. So it's a whole different thing. I mean, the Bible says he looks and sees the end from the beginning. So God has all of these. So we're in God's mind and he's at work in our lives even when we don't understand what's going on. Even when we don't see the things that are happening. Or if we do see it, it's like looking at the back of a counted cross stitch and says, what in the world is this supposed to be? That's just a few strings that one person did. About 4 years ago, Deb and I were on our way back from our anniversary vacation. And it was the 15th anniversary vacation. That's how I know it was 4 years ago, because we're about to celebrate 19 years. We were on our way back from our anniversary vacation, and some of you have heard this. On the way back, we were praying, saying, God, we need to know what's going on with the weather. Should we avoid going up and catching I-90 around the Great Lakes? Should we avoid that? We were checking the radio. Anytime we stopped, we're checking online, trying to find out what the weather is around Erie and around Buffalo, and we're not getting anything. But we're praying. And we're in the middle of Ohio. Actually, we're on the east side of Ohio. And we stopped to get off and just go to the bathroom. So here's an exit off the highway. So on the four corners, there are three gas stations. So we pull up to the stop sign as we got off the highway heading east. As we get to the stop sign, a car passes us that had just got off the highway coming the other direction, was going to this gas station over here, even though he had two on that side. They had two on the side of the road he was on, but he came to our side of the road to use this bathroom, had Vermont plates. We've been gone for a while. We haven't seen Vermont plates in 12 days. So we're just being friendly. So they pulled up to the gas pump. I pull up alongside of them, toot the horn, wave, point back at our license plate, and park. Debbie goes into the bathroom, and I go over to talk to them for a minute. And they said, "Don't go anywhere near Erie. There's a horrible snowstorm over there. You'll be in a nasty weather. Avoid it." Praise God. So this is a couple from Hinesburg, right there in the next, Chittenden County. And we're 10 hours, at least 10 hours down the road from their house. This is the morning. So they had to leave the night before. And they're on their way to Cincinnati, where their son moved to 4 years ago. So they're on their way to go visit their son. So all of a sudden, I got this realization. When God says, "Before you call, I will answer," how far in advance had God answered our prayer, "God, tell us what to do with the weather. Should we avoid Erie or not?" Was it the 10 hours it took them to get there? Was it the 4 years that the son lived out there? Was it the 30 years that the son had been alive? Was it back before that? How far in advance has God been answering our prayers? Think about that. Now take a look at the picture on your bulletin again. All these strings, all these things being pulled, all these things happening in the background that we don't understand. After I got the message kind of put together, the scriptures I wanted to read, and had sent the email to Debbie and on to Rich so he could begin getting it ready to put up online, I saw this thing on Facebook. And I understand it's on Facebook. I understand this is not gospel truth, but it illustrates a point. Me, God, can I ask you a question? God, sure. Me, promise you won't get mad. Does that sound like us? God, I promise. Me, why did you let so much stuff happen to me today? God, what do you mean? Me, well, I woke up late. God, yes. Me, my car took forever to start. God, okay. Me, at lunch they made my sandwich wrong and I had to wait. God, Me, on my way home, my phone went dead just as I picked up a call. God, all right. Me, and to top it all off, when I got home, I just want to soak my feet in my new foot massager and relax, but it wouldn't work. Nothing went right today. Why did you do that? God, well, let me see. The angel of death was at your bed this morning, and I had to send one of my angels to battle him for your life. I let you sleep through that. Me, oh. God, I didn't let your car start because there was a drunk driver on your route that would have hit you if you were on the road. Me, just being ashamed. God, the first person who made your sandwich today was sick, and I didn't want you to catch what they had. I knew you couldn't afford to miss work. Me, more embarrassed. Okay. God, your phone went dead because the person that was calling was going to give a false witness about what you said on that call. I didn't even let you talk to them so that you would be covered. Me, I see, God. God, oh, and that foot massager, it had a short that was going to throw out all the power of your house tonight, and I didn't think you wanted to be in the dark. Me, I'm sorry, God. God, don't be sorry, just learn to trust me in all things, the good and the bad. Me, I will trust you. God, and don't doubt that my plan for your day is always better than your plan. Me, I won't, God. Just let me tell you, God, thank you for everything today. God, you're welcome, child. It was just another day of being your God, and I love looking after my children. Be grateful at all times. He knows what he's doing. I saw that right after I had put this together, talking about a work of art, talking about what God is doing that we don't understand. difficult things happen in this life. Tragedies happen in this life. And I don't have the answers. But I have learned to trust God no matter what things look like. Something I wrote out yesterday, or Friday as I was putting this together. I want you to think about this for a minute. A certain man was very religious and dedicated to God. Then for some reason he totally changed. He began stirring up trouble wherever he went, so the authorities had to get involved many times. He caused several riots and was a burden to the local magistrates and police. If you could ever get him calm without being in a turmoil to try to understand the changes in his life, he would tell such improbable tales so nothing he said made any sense. Finally, it was decided to send him away under armed guard for the peace of the local population. Even then, there were rumors of him stirring up trouble in different in distant places. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Exactly. It all depends on what side. We look at Paul and we see the things he went through to stand up for righteousness. But when you look at the other side, he was well respected. He was a member of the Pharisees. He was a student of their best teacher, their most famous teacher, Gamaliel. He was righteous in all of his ways. He had all of the reasons within the flesh to brag. And then all of a sudden he completely changed because God touched him. But how do we look at a circumstance? So that's what I want to talk about for the work of art. In 1 Corinthians 1, beginning with verse 25, it says, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of this world, the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom of God, the righteousness, wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." God has picked people that don't make sense to the natural. Everybody throw your hand up. Has God done something in your life? Have you been written off because for whatever reason you come from a poor background, you have a past, you became one of the people that nobody wanted to be around? Have things happened in your life where you certainly wouldn't have chosen you to do some of the things God has chosen you to do? We can look at our circumstances and say, this doesn't make sense. My cousin, I know she drives her crazy every time I do this. But talking with her a couple of years ago and ran into her at a Walmart, and I was talking to her about how I pastor a church in Vermont and my next brother pastors a church in North Florida, and she's just shaking her head. When I was growing up, they was the heathen. We're the ones that wrote off. Don't let your kids grow up to be like that one. That was me. That was my brother. God has chosen people that just don't seem to make sense. Go through the Bible. I mean, you know, you don't have to call out anybody that you know in your life today, but go through the Bible. Take a look at this. When David was chosen, he was so insignificant, his father didn't even bother to call him when the prophet said, "I'm going to anoint a king from among your sons." Well, it's not going to be him. We'll just leave him out in the field. Gideon is hiding in the wine press, threshing wheat, hiding from the enemy. And the angel shows up and says, "Hail thou mighty man of valor." He's like, "Where? What are you talking about? My family is the least in our tribe, and I am the least in my father's house." Yet that was who God chose. God picks people that don't seem to make sense. It says so right here. The foolish things of this world, God has chosen the foolish things to put to shame the wise, the weak things to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of this world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Things don't make sense, but God is still doing it. God is at work in our circumstances. God is at work in our lives. Even when things are difficult, even when things are horrific, even when things are terrible, God is still at work. Romans 8, beginning with verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" We understand the Scripture. We know what the Scripture says. But then we look at our circumstance and we see the backside of the tapestry. We see the backside of the counted cross stitch. We see something that looks like a mess that doesn't make any sense to us. And we try to judge a circumstance or a situation based on that. God is still at work. God loves us. If we know up here in our head that the Word says that God causes all things, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We get that. We understand that on an intellectual level. But when things get difficult in our lives, don't we tend to break down? Don't we tend to lose sight of it? Don't we tend to forget that God is at work? Or is it just me? We have things going on that just don't make sense. We lose loved ones. We have children walk away. We have financial setbacks. We have difficulties with work. We have difficulties in relationships. Whatever the situation is, whatever comes along, it's very easy to look at the backside of the work of art and not realize that it is a work of art, that God is doing something much bigger than we understand. I got a chance to talk, it must have been while I was down in Pennsylvania, I got a chance to share about that one Sunday so many years ago in here. It was the Sunday of the Burlington Marathon. And just, it was on my heart to pray for the runners in that marathon. I'm not a sports guy. I'm not athletic. I lost $200 on the Super Bowl in 78. I don't watch sports. I have other things to do with my life other than that. So I don't follow any of it. And it's just, it happened to be mentioned on the radio on the way into work that there was a marathon. And just, I was up here praying, doing the pastoral prayer, and was praying, and all of a sudden it was on my heart to pray for the runners in the race. And it was a couple of days later, I'm looking at the Burlington Free Press at work, and there's this article about this guy that collapsed in sight of the finish line, and his core temperature was 108. If you know anything about your body, you're cooked at 108. Okay? He should not have been alive, but they put him in ice, took him to the hospital. He was in the hospital for a couple of days, a week, what?
Several weeks.
And then they allowed him to go back. He was from Georgia. They allowed him to go back to Georgia, but he had to promise that as soon as he got off the plane, he was going right to the hospital there. And all they gave was his name and that he was from Georgia. Might have given the town in Georgia. But I went online and I went looking, and I found an address for a person of that name in that town. I just wrote him a letter. I said, I don't know if this is you, but this is the situation. God had it on my heart to pray for the runners in the Burlington Marathon that day. And that day, this happened to a person with your name. And if it's you, I just want to let you know that God knew what was coming long before it happened and was preparing for it. I got a chance to share that with people. And just, it amazes people what God is doing, and what God is setting up in advance. It amazes me. And then we get in a circumstance and we forget. We are looking at the backside of the artwork again and forget the fact that God is doing some wondrous things, not only in my life, in your life, in the lives of the next person that drives by. I don't know who it is. That God knows exactly who that person is. Exactly. God is doing some wondrous things, and He loves us, and He's at work in us, and He's at work through us. That work of art is what God is doing. As Chris said, told us last week, that God was had us on His mind, in His heart, not just today, but before we were ever born in eternity future. In Hebrews 11, as they're talking about the gallery of faith, and the first part of there is talking about people who everything went well for. You know, dead raised to life again, and are being given victory in battles, and protecting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael from the fiery furnace. I always wondered how come Daniel gets to keep his Hebrew name, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are always referred to by their Babylonian name that they were given. Little side note, Andrew's strange, okay? Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, the three friends of Daniel, when they went into the fiery furnace for standing up for their God, God protected them. Daniel going into the lion's den, God protected him. All these things happened. Gideon going into battle, and God fighting the battle for him. So all of these things are in the first part of Hebrews 11. But then you get down to verse 35, where it says, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had a trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained the good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. We always forget that in the, or I don't know that we always forget, but it's one of those things that's often forgotten, that having faith in God and being blessed by God doesn't always mean everything is going to turn out rosy. What it means is all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But good isn't necessarily what I have, the picture I have in my mind. Think about this. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Steve mentioned earlier, today being the day of National Day of Prayer for the persecuted church. We have brothers and sisters throughout the world being persecuted for their faith. God is still at work in that. We're like, how can that be? How can a good, loving God allow such things to happen? And that's the same argument that people who don't want to listen to God have. We live in a fallen world. There is sin. There is death. There is pain. All of these things are in this world. It wasn't the way God designed it. We allowed sin to come into the world. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Which of us have lived a perfect life? Oh, look, no hands. You know? None of us have. Who here has hurt other people? I certainly have. Who here has said things that weren't correct? I certainly have. You know? And if we are wicked human beings, and God loves us, and He's at work in us to make us more like Jesus. We read that a minute ago. back in Romans 8, says that in verse 29, said, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son." You know, God is at work in our circumstances to make us more like Jesus. I don't know about you. I don't think the world needs a whole lot of Andrews. But I'm pretty sure the whole world could use a whole lot of people that looked and acted like Jesus. That's what God is trying to do in each and every one of us, to make us more like his son. Romans 8, going down to verse 35, says, "But whom shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" In other words, no matter what we're going through, it still doesn't separate us from his love. Are we just looking at the backside of that tapestry? Are we trusting that even though I can't see what God is doing, I can trust that he is doing something wondrous? I can trust that he knows everything that's going on with me, everything that's going on in my heart, in my mind, everything that's going on in relationships. He knows my disappointments. He knows my failures. He knows my faults. And he still wants me to be like Jesus. He's still working in me to do that. So the love of Christ is there no matter what our circumstances are. As it is written, "For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Goes on and says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Okay? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword. And in all of these things, no matter what our circumstances are, we are more than conquerors. Not necessarily in the natural. Not necessarily turning the tables on our attackers. We are more than conquerors because of what God is doing in us. "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." No matter what's going on, he has us engraved in the palm of his hands. Nothing occurs in our life without God knowing about it. And having known about it, he has already promised that he's already going to work it together for good to them who love him, to them who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say it's all going to be pleasant. It doesn't say it's all going to be fun and games. It's all fun and games till somebody loses an eye. You know, you've heard that. You know, it's all fun and games until something happens that really ruins people's day. But our day gets ruined because we're looking at the backside of the tapestry. We are not looking at the work of art. We are not wanting to see what God is doing. We're just looking at a couple of knots on the back of a tapestry. And say, "Well, that looks a little messy. That looks a little rough. Why'd you do it that way?" Just like that thing I had read out of Facebook. "Well, God, my car wouldn't start, and then they made my sandwich wrong, and you know, then my phone died." This thing's happening. God is using it for a reason, for a purpose. I understand this is a very simple illustration with that thing from Facebook, but the thought is there. You remember in the if you read the book or saw the movie For the Shack. Anytime somebody's name is mentioned, God says, "I'm particularly fond of that one." Praise God. He is at work in our lives, even when things don't seem to be going well. Or not only don't seem to be going well, are not going well. You know, I think back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet, at one point, they've got him in the sewer. Chest deep in the sewer. How's that for a good place for standing in your faith? That's where he was. And was still able to speak the word of the Lord. I guarantee you that was not pleasant. We started this talking about this certain person that had a great reputation, loved God, was very religious, and then just everything changed. Talking about Paul. Remember there was the riot where for the space of 3/4 of an hour they screamed, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" how bad do you have to upset people that they will sit there and chant like that for 45 minutes? What do you have to do to get somebody that mad at you? These are the men that have turned the world upside down. Take him, had him beaten. Well, actually, let's read it. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 24. Says, from the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one, or 39 stripes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for the church, for the churches. Paul went through all of these things. And he went through it and he didn't say, why is God doing this to me? Remember, he's the one that wrote Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to them who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. He wrote it. He lived it. Here in 2 Corinthians, he's talking about some of the things he went through. It didn't change who he was. It didn't change his faith. It continued to work in him. Early in his ministry, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have attained, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. And looking forward to the things ahead, I press toward the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. I haven't arrived. Then later at the end of his life, he says, I finished the race. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've run the race. Now is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all of those who love his appearing. Paul didn't say, I don't know why in the world God made me go through that. He said, no matter what happened, I'm still his. And in fact, here's what he says in 2 Timothy 1:12, and this is the last scripture. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Do we have that attitude? Do we have that thought? Do we have that in our heart? That I may not understand the things that are going on. I may not understand the difficulties I face. I may not understand the trials, the temptations, and all the obstacles that I find in front of me. But I know God is at work. I know God loves me. I am convinced, I am fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. As I have laid my life down at the Lord's feet, and said, here I am, use me as you will. Are we persuaded and committed to that no matter what comes, no matter what happens, we know that God is doing something wondrous. That the God who sees the end from the beginning, that the God who knew us, has plans for us, as it says in Jeremiah, who has loved us with an everlasting love, who is at work in our circumstances. It is God who is able to make us to stand. We trust him that no matter what's going on, he is still worthy of praise. He is still doing something wondrous, even if all I can see is a couple of knots and the ugly backside of a piece of art, ugly backside of a tapestry or a counted cross stitch. Even if I can't see the picture, all I have to know is that just seeing that, there is still a God who is at work in the circumstances. And I don't have to see how it works out to know that he is faithful. That he is going to accomplish that he's began to do. He who began the good work in you is faithful to complete it. Praise God. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what our situation, no matter what we are facing, God has already shown Himself faithful. He has shown Himself to be true. And He has shown Himself to be a master artist. How far in advance has He been answering your prayers? How far in advance has He been directing our steps? How far in advance is the path taken to bring us to where you are right here today? Here's a question for you, Joanne, just to put you on the spot for just a moment. How far in advance did God plan for the road work to be done on 78 so that you would be in church here this morning instead of someplace else?
I remembered long in advance.
God has been doing some wondrous things in each and every one of our lives. And it is so easy to take our eyes off of the wondrous things because of the difficulties. But it doesn't change the fact that God loves us and He is at work. He hasn't given up on us, even when we would have given up on ourselves. He is still at work. Praise God. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. And we do thank You that You do have us engraved in the palm of Your hands, that You are at work in our hearts and in our lives, that You are working in our circumstances, Father, that You are directing and leading us. We thank You, Father, that You have shown Yourself mighty on our behalf so many ways and so many times. And as we look at the difficulties we face just being in a fallen world, we still know that even with the hurt, even with the pain, even with the tears, even with the devastation, You are still a God worthy of praise, and You are still at work. And even in the darkest hour, You are still showing Yourself mighty. So, Lord, we give praise and thanks. We trust You, and we ask that You continue to guide us. We give You all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.